Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
It is a quiet end to the week, but we do have a weather alert day in place for tomorrow. I'll go over the latest update here from the Storm Prediction Center and timing coming up.
And we are still following the big cleanup that's happening here in Johnston County in Smithfield on 70. Coming up, we'll tell you when they expect to have this all cleared.
This case is a challenge to how we practice medicine.
And a challenge for the medical community as the Supreme Court faces a big deadline on a case that could challenge the way that women access abortion medication across the country. We have that story and much more to get to for you this morning on this Friday. I'm Michelle McConaughey.
And I'm Renee Chu. Great to have you with us on this Friday. All week we've had sunny and dry weather. We get to the weekend and then severe storms start rolling in. Meteorologist Anthony Baglione is tracking the threat for our WRAL Weather Alert Day.
Not necessarily the best timing, guys, here with this coming in with everything going on. Brugaloo and just all the events happening tomorrow. We do have an update here from the Storm Prediction Center. We'll get another one here probably within the next hour or so. And what they've done is they've taken that level 2 risk this morning and shifted it a little bit further to the west. So this does include all of the triangle. We could be seeing maybe some isolated tornadoes, mainly to the north and east of the triangle. But damaging wind gusts, some small hail, that's all going to be a potential factor for us tomorrow. Here is Futurecast. Notice we start off the day actually fairly good to go. Maybe a few light sprinkles by this point. I'm not overly concerned about any severe potential tomorrow morning. That should be pretty low. There is 10 a.m. though. Notice we start to see a few pockets of isolated showers at that point, and then it really starts to fill in into the afternoon. We start to see that potential for, you see the pink showing up there on the map, some of those to have some of that small hail, and then the very, very heavy rainfall, if nothing else. Any of those peaks in the clouds that you see, that will add to some fuel here for these storms to feed off of. Then we'll get a line coming through. The actual cold front itself, or right ahead of the cold front, that will be the one too that could have some damage. Damaging wind gusts, and then it finally all gets out of here by the time probably 6 to 7 p.m. rolls around tomorrow night. Then it should be a quieter rest of the weekend, but certainly just keep your guard up as we head into tomorrow. Temperatures, though, right now, very mild, upper 50s and low 60s. It is going to be another warm one here, Brian, with most of us in the upper 80s.
All right, Anthony, here at 8:02, just in, hearing about a crash up on the north side of Raleigh at Six Forks at Strickland Road, and apparently that is partially blocking that intersection. Just check some sensor data in that area, seeing a little bit of a backup, but not seeing big delays just yet. On the south side of Garner, we're seeing some improvement with that crash reported on Highway 50 at Timber Drive. A lot of those delays on the northbound side have eased up considerably, and traffic slowing fairly well now from 42 up toward Business 70. Around the rest of the triangle, our major routes are in fairly good shape. We have our usual delays coming in from Johnston County on 40 westbound. Right around the Clayton Bypass, a little bit of a backup there. A little slow in both directions of 885 right now between I-40 and the 147 interchange as well. Had reports of an earlier incident on 440 westbound right around the Wake Forest Road interchange. Our sensor reading out there is still showing a 7-minute delay as you head between the New Bern Avenue area out toward Capitol Boulevard, but I looked at the camera a few minutes ago and it looks like traffic is starting to flow a little more freely out there, so we should see that improving. Want to check in on South Durham. This is a live look at I-40 out at 55. Traffic heading toward us there is coming in from the Chapel Hill area on 40 eastbound. Right now, no delays from 15501 out to 885.
Brian, thanks. Crews are working right now to clean up a busy intersection in Johnston County more than 13 hours after a dump truck plowed into several stoplights. WRAL's Nye Hardin joins us live from Swift Creek Road in Smithfield with how this is impacting the morning drive. Nye.
Yeah, a lot of drivers noticing that this is still a big mess. The lanes are not all the way open. Only one lane on each side is open here on 70. And then Swift Creek is completely closed for drivers. And so a lot of people are having to work their way around this mess. You can see they're putting up new traffic lights right now. They've also been replacing some of the poles that were down. This, as we know, the dump truck driver accused of the hit and run is now in custody after returning to the scene. Investigators say the driver plowed into traffic poles that landed on 6 cars. He or she continued to keep driving while dragging traffic lights for more than a block. One driver tells us he saw what happened and that he had to react fast.
I said, "Oh, Lord, what in the world are you doing?" And about that time, he went right through the light there, and I was pulled back. And when it hit, I saw it coming towards me, and I just hit brakes. And everything fell right and dead in front of my truck. And hit the truck right on top up there and hit my bumper.
Swift Creek Road is expected to be reopened around 6 o'clock tonight is what they're hoping for. That is during rush hour. And we also are trying to get information on the truck driver to find out what charges they may face. We'll continue to keep you updated. Nia Harden, WRAL News in Johnston County.
And breaking news this morning, a man is in the hospital after a shooting at a Goldsboro hotel. Police say they found Tyreek Artis shot at the Quality Inn on South Harding Drive just after 11:30 last night. He'd been shot in the chest. He was taken by helicopter to ECU Health Medical in Greenville and is listed as stable this morning. Police have not said if they know who's responsible for the shooting.
WRAL is working to learn more about a shooting involving a child. The WRAL breaking news tracker was on the scene last night on Johnsdale Road in Raleigh at this home. Investigators say it happened just after 8 p.m. Police tell us the child was taken to the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. As of right now, they have not released the child's name nor what led to the shooting. We do know that officers are not looking for a suspect.
The Supreme Court faces another self-imposed deadline today that could determine the fate of the main pill used for medication abortions. The court is expected to decide today whether to uphold a lower court's ruling that would restrict access to mifepristone. Both the Justice Department and the company that makes the drug are asking the court to step in after a Texas judge decided to overturn the drug's FDA approval. And there's a separate court case causing even more confusion here.
17 states in the District of Columbia have been ordered to keep mifepristone access as it is, and a judge who purported to issue a nationwide injunction telling the FDA to change the way that mifepristone is being administered. And so you do have a conflict, which is why the Supreme Court definitely needs to do something about it.
The justices are scheduled to meet for a private conference today.
Bills that would ban students who identify as transgender from playing girls' sports are gaining steam. The state Senate approved its own version of the legislation yesterday, one day after the House passed one. The Senate bill would ban anyone assigned male on their birth certificate from competing on girls' teams. LGBTQ advocates say the bill has legalized discrimination against transgender students who are already at an increased risk of suicide. Those in favor of the bill say polls show most people support a ban.
The man who killed five co-workers at a Louisville bank earlier this month left detailed notes, including one revealing part of his goal was to show how easy it is for a person dealing with a serious mental illness to buy an assault-style weapon. That's according to law enforcement sources who shared details with CNN. They say Connor Sturgeon bought the AR-15-style rifle he used in the shooting 7 days before he brought it to the bank. Under Kentucky law, he was only required to fill out a form for the ATF and to undergo an FBI records check.
We're tracking breaking developments in the war in Ukraine. In the last 2 hours, U.S. officials share they will begin training Ukrainian troops on the high-tech Abrams tanks. Those are considered to be some of the most powerful tanks in the world and could give Ukraine an advantage as it prepares an offensive against Russia. This morning, Defense Secretary and former Fort Bragg Commander Lloyd Austin affirmed our country's commitment to Ukraine.
Together, we will defend the rules-based international order that keeps us all secure. And together, we will support Ukraine for as long as it takes.
Austin was speaking to world leaders in Germany.
Severe storms in Texas are giving drivers problems because of flash flooding. Look at the screen there. Several cars stalled out in the waters on highways last night. One man had to escape by climbing out of his car window. There are no reports of any injuries. Time now, 8:09 on your Friday morning. Starting this weekend, you'll see some new rules if you're traveling with kids to Carowinds. Just ahead, why the theme park is trying out stricter rules when it comes to chaperones. Plus,
– Why experts say a failed launch for SpaceX isn't as bad as it seems. Anthony.
And we continue to track here. Actually, a pretty warm day for all of us. Temperatures in the mid to upper 80s with lots of sunshine. Changes, though, are on the way for us tomorrow. I'll go over Futurecast and we'll walk through the potential concerns here severe weather-wise coming up.
Tomorrow is where we're having the concerns for severe weather. Meteorologist Anthony Baglione is tracking that storm system that's to the west of us right now.
Yeah, well, I'm glad at least we get some sunshine today, because tomorrow things, like you said, do start to change a little bit. It's this storm system we've been watching here the past couple of days in the form of a cold front. And a lot of times what happens is where you see that front showing up right there, it adds lift to the atmosphere. You can think of it almost like a bulldozer picking up dirt, and then that dirt just gets turned into clouds and storms. That's kind of what's going on right now in the atmosphere. And all that turbulence is getting ready to head here into our direction as well. This is the latest update from the Storm Prediction Center. And so this is a level 2 out of 5 risk, where you see the yellow showing up. It is not necessarily saying that everyone will see strong storms all day long, and it's just going to be a really bad day in that regard. What it's saying is that potential is there. We have the ingredients for some strong storms tomorrow afternoon. Any sunshine that we get will help to fuel some of these storms as well. Damaging wind gusts and some small hail, small to maybe large hail, depending on the cell that comes through. That's going to be our biggest threat. Where we head up toward the north and eastern portions here of our viewing area, that's where we could see an isolated tornado. And I think the even greater chance is up toward Roanoke Rapids, South Hill, Virginia. This is looking like a mainly confined to that area for tornado risk here tomorrow. So that's good. Of course, though, when we get hail, we have events going on. It's not necessarily going to be great. So let's walk you through Futurecast here. There is 8 a.m. tomorrow morning. A few isolated showers by that point. We bump this ahead to about 10. It starts to fill in a little bit, and this is likely how this is going to start. We will see more discrete cells, and then they start to fill in, and then a big line is going to come through here to about 2 to 3 p.m. tomorrow afternoon. Futurecast tries to pick up on that a little bit right about there. I think it's going to be a little bit more discrete here, or at least a little bit better defined than what Futurecast is showing up right now. But nonetheless, we'll have those individual cells and then a big line coming through. And then tomorrow evening, we can take a breath. By 6 to 7 p.m., it will be out of here, and we should see a dry end to the weekend as well. We, of course, will be here all day long, keeping you covered. It is not necessarily going to be a wake-up, an all-day-long rain event, but I just would plan here, if you're headed out tomorrow, that we could see some of those stronger storms in the afternoon. Today, though, this is going to be the story. Look how peaceful that looks, first of all, out on the water at Lake Gaston. It's going to be a beautiful day, warm temperatures in the mid-80s once again for us today. We're topping out, or we're starting off, rather, in the 50s and 60s as we speak. Our weather alert day is in place tomorrow. We're going to be at 74. Notice temperatures do cool off, relatively speaking, there in the 60s into next week. Maybe some isolated rain chances there Wednesday and Thursday, Brian.
8:16 right now, Anthony. Let's take a look at traffic. Still have this crash reported on the north side of Raleigh at the intersection of Six Forks at Strickland Road, and we are hearing there may be some lanes blocked out there at that intersection. Good news right now is that we're not seeing any big delays showing up on the sensors, but still expect a little bit of a slowdown, at least there, just south of 540. Around the rest of the triangle, had that earlier crash at Highway 50 at Timber Drive and Garner, still on the map, but I think it is largely cleared. And also that earlier crash at I-40 westbound at US 1 has cleared. Fairly light traffic volume this morning as we take a look at those live sensor readings. Just a little bit of a slowdown on 40 westbound right around the Clayton bypass heading into Garner. Only about a 3-minute delay right now, and we're looking good in Durham. Let's take a couple of seconds here to talk about the Tar Heel 10-miler tomorrow in Chapel Hill. If you're heading to the race early, if you're going to be using I-40 to get into downtown Chapel Hill, use the Highway 86 interchange, because 54 is not going to be available to you. So head on down to 86, and you can expect detours along the race, the course, which extends through a lot of downtown Chapel Hill. A lot of closures there between 7 a.m. and 9 a.m. And a big section of Raleigh Road is going to be closed between 5 a.m. and 10 a.m.
Brian, thanks. Alec Baldwin is no longer facing involuntary manslaughter charges. Prosecutors dropped the charges yesterday, the same day production resumed on the film Rust. Things were put on hold back in October 2021 following the deadly incident on set. That was when a prop gun Baldwin was holding fired and killed cinematographer Helena Hutchins. The film's armorer is still charged with involuntary manslaughter.
One of the Tennessee lawmakers expelled from the legislature after joining a protest against gun violence will be in Raleigh next week. Representative Justin Pearson will be the keynote speaker for the North Carolina Black Alliance's annual summit. That conference brings together black public officials in the state. It'll be held April 27th and 28th at the Raleigh Marriott Crabtree Valley. Meanwhile, one of the leaders in the Republican caucus who voted to expel Pearson resigned last night. It all comes after a local reporter uncovered an ethics inquiry into GOP Representative Scotty Campbell, who faced allegations of sexual misconduct.
As soon as next week, President Biden is expected to announce his bid for re-election. And just last night, conservative radio talk show host Larry Elder revealed he'd also be running for office in 2024. John Lawrence shows us how this presidential race is shaping up.
It appears President Joe Biden wants to spend another 4 years at the White House. Biden has reportedly signed off on a plan to formalize his intentions to run for re-election.
As my mother and Miss Grammer said, God love you.
Four sources familiar with the situation say a video announcement about another White House bid could be released as soon as Tuesday.
If you look at the polls right now, it looks like it's Trump and Biden. Okay, I guess I'm going to have to pick. Maybe we should try to avoid that.
But Biden has more pressing matters than a possible rematch against former President Donald Trump, including this week's report from the Labor Department, which says first-time jobless claims are up and the looming deadline for raising the U.S.'s debt ceiling.
Would you simply raise the limit, or would you first sit down and look at what you're spending your money on? Every household does that, and Congress should do the same.
House Speaker Kevin McCarthy's plan, which he says will get through the House next week, has not impressed the Biden administration.
The way to have a real negotiation on the budget is for House Republicans to take threats of default when it comes to the economy and what it could potentially do to the economy off the table.
If McCarthy's bill gets through the House, it's not expected to pass the Democratic-led Senate.
That was John Lawrence reporting. The Congressional Budget Office says if the debt ceiling is not raised, our nation could default on its debt sometime between July and September.
SpaceX says it's reviewing data and planning for its next test launch after its Starship rocket exploded minutes after liftoff yesterday.
Was icing on the cake.
SpaceX says yesterday's launch was a success despite this explosion. Elon Musk called it an exciting test launch and said the team learned a lot. Starship is set to play a key role in NASA's plans to get people back to the moon. Experts say there's a reason SpaceX is staying positive about this.
The whole job of test is to find out what goes wrong, to let things fail.
There definitely were some big successes here.
They'll overcome this and we'll be on the way and we'll be landing on the moon late 25, early 26.
And the FAA will oversee the investigation to ensure Starship can return to flight soon.
Carowinds now has a chaperone policy for children. Starting this weekend, anyone 15 and younger must have a chaperone who is at least 21. The policy applies from 4 p.m. until the park closes. The chaperone must show ID at the entrance and must be available by phone throughout their stay. Any kids who break this rule could be kicked out of the park. Carowinds says they're doing this because there's been an uptick in unruly and inappropriate behavior over the last 2 years at the park. This past Sunday, a 13-year-old got stuck in a claw machine while trying to steal a prize. Several movies are getting a lot of attention this weekend, including Pixar's newest film. Here's Dana Daniel with your Hollywood Minute.
Elements cannot mix.
What the? A pipe squished me all out of shape.
Dang.
That's better.
Oh.
Elemental is set to close this year's Cannes Film Festival. It'll be the fourth Pixar film to screen at Cannes after Up, Inside Out, and Soul. The May 27th screening will be Elemental's world premiere ahead of its theatrical debut on June 16th.
What do you think I should do?
As Bo is Afraid moves from limited to wider release, people are still buzzing about the film and writer-director Ari Aster, including his cast.
I know he wants to entertain and enlighten, but I wonder if he cares about whether or not people like it. I care about what everybody thinks of me, but I have a feeling he's so singular that he may not care.
I'm half Pakistani and I'm half African-American.
I'm Asian and American.
Filipino-American.
Black and white and both.
Half black and half Japanese.
1,000% a person.
W. Kamau Bell explores the complexity of identity in 1,000% Me, Growing Up Mixed. The documentary features multiracial kids and families navigating a world that often asks them to pick a side. 1,000% Me, Growing Up Mixed debuts May 2nd on HBO and HBO Max. In Hollywood, I'm David Daniel.
It is 8:23. An unusually high number of dogs across North Carolina are getting sick with the flu. Still ahead, what you need to know about the spread so that you can protect your pet.
And a man is accused of shooting a little girl in North Carolina over a basketball. He's now in custody. How police say they managed to get him in handcuffs as he prepares to face a judge.
As you get into your car, tune to WRAL News Plus on your radio in Raleigh on 99.3 FM, in Durham 96.5 FM, and everywhere on 101.5 HD3.
Good Friday morning. Time now is 8:26. I'm Michelle McConaughey with your top stories. A beautiful summer-like day today, but we are looking ahead to tomorrow. Many of us under a level 1 and 2 risk. Severe risk, Anthony.
Yeah, Michelle, certainly today is going to be a good day to soak up the sunshine because this, unfortunately, is headed our way. Where you see the yellow, that's at level 2 out of 5 from the Storm Prediction Center. And then it drops off for our far western counties, a little bit lower at that level 1 out of 5. Looks like mainly during the afternoon, we could see some stronger storms come through, isolated tornadoes potentially, especially north and east of the triangle, and some small hail as well. Today, though, warm temperatures at 86 this afternoon should be a beautiful and comfortable day as well, Brian.
Taking a look at traffic this morning, Anthony, we have a couple of crashes showing up out there in Wake County. First of all, in Raleigh, a crash partially blocking the intersection at Six Forks Road at Strickland Road. And we're also getting reports of a disabled vehicle just a little ways from there on Strickland Road. That crash creating some delays just south of the 540 interchange. Also, a report of a crash at Hillsborough at Gorman Street, seeing a little bit of a slowdown there, not too far from the Meredith College campus. Around the rest of the triangle right now, our major routes are looking okay, with the exception of those typical delays coming in from Johnston County on 40 westbound. A 3-minute backup right now around the Clayton bypass.
Thank you, Brian. The aftermath of a dump truck crash has Swift Creek Road closed near US 70 in Smithfield. Officials say the truck slammed into traffic poles yesterday, which crashed onto several cars. The driver is in custody. The road is expected to reopen around 6 o'clock tonight. Coming up next on Fox 50, how the massive Brugaloo Festival in Raleigh could affect your commute downtown. And then ahead on today, a repair, reboot, extravaganza in celebration of Earth Week.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
We continue to watch the potential for some strong to severe storms tomorrow afternoon. I'll talk about our weather alert day and go over future cast coming up.
Plus, half a day later and a busy route through Johnston County remains closed. What you can expect at Swift Creek Road, where crews are still cleaning up after a dump truck slammed into power poles.
And thousands of people are expected to pack into downtown Raleigh for the big Brugaloo Festival starting tonight. We're tracking how it will impact your commute and what will happen when it rains as you look live at Fayetteville Street. It is a 2-day festival, and no matter the weather tomorrow, Brugaloo is on. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Renee Chu.
And I'm Michelle McConaughey. Yes, super popular festival happening today and tomorrow. I think today is probably the safer choice to go weather-wise. Meteorologist Anthony Baglione here with a beautiful look over Carolina Beach. Today's the perfect day for the beach.
Yeah, today's going to be beautiful no matter what you are doing. The beach, if you're headed to Brugaloo as well. I wanted to get us some good news here before we talk about the storms that come in for us tomorrow. There is a live look at Carolina Beach. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people out there here as we head into tonight. Nothing but sunshine, blue skies. Look how calm the waves look as well. Looks like a pretty nice picture out there. Temperatures right now are pretty comfortable as well. We're talking 65 in Southern Pines, 64 in Goldsboro. We're at 63 in Rocky Mount. Good morning to you. We're going to see temperatures today very similar to yesterday, about 86 this afternoon. If you liked yesterday's forecast, albeit it was a little bit hot yesterday afternoon, it's still going to be very similar with low humidity as well today. Let's talk about the changes here for the weekend. We have some showers and storms on the way for our weather alert day tomorrow. We will likely start off the day with a mix of clouds and maybe a few peaks of sunshine, more clouds though than sunshine. Isolated showers here by about 10 a.m. and then it starts to increase into the afternoon. Any one of those little cells you see where they're kind of more discrete, that's where we could see some maybe isolated instances of rotation. Looks like damaging wind gusts and some small hail. Those are going to be our primary threats, though, tomorrow afternoon. We will see a line come through. There's 3 o'clock. And then it starts to calm down here as we head into tomorrow evening and then starts to make a nice forecast here as we head into Sunday. We will continue to watch this here pretty closely. I'll have another update for you coming up here in just a few minutes as to how the rest of the weekend looks, guys.
All right. Thank you, Anthony. Crews are working right now to clean up a busy intersection in Johnston County. Nearly 14 hours, a dump truck plowed into several stoplights. WRL's Naya Harden is on Swift Creek Road in Smithfield with the impact to your morning commute.
One lane on each side has been reopened, but you can see they still have cones out here. Crews are still out here working, several of them, and we know that they expect to have Swift Creek open by 6 o'clock tonight. That is during rush hour. The dump truck driver accused of a hit and run is now in custody after returning to the scene. Investigators say the driver plowed into traffic poles that landed on 6 cars. The driver kept going while dragging traffic lights for more than a block. One driver says he saw what happened and that he had to react fast.
I said, "Oh, Lord, what in the world are you doing?" And about that time, he went through the light there, and I was further back. And when it hit, I saw it coming towards me, and I just hit brakes. And everything fell right and dead in front of my truck. And hit the truck right on top up there. Hit my bumper.
Thankfully, no one was injured, but damages are going to be more than $75,000. Naya Harden, WRAL News in Johnston County.
WRAL is working to learn more about a shooting involving a child. The WRAL Breaking News Tracker was there on the scene last night at Johnsdale Road in Raleigh. Investigators say it happened just after 8 p.m. Police tell us the child was taken to the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. As of right now, they have not released the child's name nor what led to the shooting. We do know that officers are not looking for a suspect. The rider of a dirt bike is dead after being hit by a tanker truck in Johnston County. The crash happened around 10 o'clock last night at U.S. 70 and U.S. 70A, just west of Princeton. Highway Patrol told our crew at the scene that the bike rider pulled into the path of the truck and was struck. The dirt bike had no lights on. Authorities say no charges will be filed against the truck driver. The Supreme Court faces another self-imposed deadline today that could determine the fate of the main pill used for medication abortions. The court is expected to decide today whether to uphold a lower court's ruling that would restrict access to mifepristone. Both the Justice Department and the company that makes the drug are asking the court to step in after a Texas judge issued a block of the FDA's previous approval of the pill. The justices are scheduled to meet for a private conference today. 6 people are now facing charges in the deadly mass shooting at an Alabama Sweet 16 party. The Alabama law enforcement agency confirmed a 15-year-old was arrested last night. He joins a 16-year-old, a 17-year-old, a 19-year-old, and 2 20-year-olds who were all facing reckless murder charges. 4 people died and 32 others were hurt in the shooting last Saturday night. The Gaston County man accused of shooting a 6-year-old girl and her parents will be in court today for an extradition hearing. Investigators say Robert Singletary turned himself in to authorities near Tampa, Florida on Thursday. He's accused of firing shots after a basketball rolled into his yard on Tuesday. Witnesses say Singletary yelled at a group of kids as they tried to get the ball. One parent made a comment toward the suspect before he went inside, got his gun, and started shooting. The victims are expected to be okay.
Jeff Hogan of the WRL Live Center. Brand new information. Our top story in WRL Tech Wire right now. Cary-based Epic Games and some other companies will get their day in court in an antitrust case against Google. It'll take place in November. Google was trying to push back that timeline and also have parts of this case dismissed. But a judge wasn't having any of that. He is saying this case is going to go forward. It will be tried. It'll be in November. Someone is going to trial. Basically, y'all figure out what is going to be tried, but it's going to happen. At issue, at least for Epic Games is concerned, restrictions that Google and Apple have put on their global hit, Fortnite. You can get this entire story, WRL TechWire, right now.
Jeff, thanks. Starting tonight, expect major traffic impacts in downtown Raleigh when North Carolina's largest craft beer festival kicks off. WRL's Laura Levine is live on Fayetteville Street with the plans for Brugaloo. Laura, good morning.
Good morning, Renee. Yes, Brugaloo officially kicks off tonight from 6 to 10 p.m. here in downtown Raleigh. But if you're heading to the festival tomorrow, you may want to grab one of these, a rain poncho. Despite the forecast, though, event organizers believe that this year will be bigger than ever. Tens and thousands of people typically pack downtown Raleigh for this festival. And this year, more than 110 North Carolina craft breweries are participating. And all of the music and artists are from right here in the Triangle. Jennifer Martin, the event director, says they're working with RPD and a private security company to provide event safety, and they will have a contingency plan for the weather.
Saturday, we are looking at maybe potentially some showers, but good news, water and beer still go very well together. And so we will be happening rain or shine. In case of any lightning, there is a 30-minute delay. We just ask that you kind of seek some shelter for that time period, but we will resume and we are fully scheduled to go on as planned.
And as far as traffic goes, these streets on this map will be closed throughout the festival. There is plenty of parking available. The event is free, but you can support vendors, food trucks, and breweries right here on site by paying as you go, or you can purchase a wristband. Laura Levine, WRL News. We're live in downtown Raleigh.
The Carolina Hurricanes will look to take a commanding 3-0 lead in their opening round Stanley Cup playoff series tonight. They're facing off against the New York Islanders in New York after they beat them twice back home at PNC Arena. The Canes will play tonight without star forward Teuvo Teravainen, who suffered a broken hand in game two. The puck drops at 7 tonight.
Raleigh is celebrating Earth Day today. This is a live look at the beautiful Dix Park, where an event to help and celebrate the environment will happen tonight. The city is hosting the free community event from 5 to 10 tonight at the park. It'll feature Earth-conscious vendors and organizations, and there will also be live music, games, and other activities. The city will give out its environmental awards during the event, and the movie WALL-E will be shown starting at 8:15.
A warning for dog owners this morning. What you need to know about an unusually high number of flu cases affecting pets across North Carolina. Plus,
y'all shouldn't even be able to sleep at night knowing that you did this. You need to come forward.
A mother's message as the search grows for the people who shot her 14-year-old daughter.
And we are tracking the threat for severe weather closely as you look live at Warrenton. This is for tomorrow. Saturday is the WRL Weather Alert Day and how that's already affecting some weekend events in our area.
Welcome back. Time now 8:43 on your Friday morning. This is a live look over Goldsboro. It is a beautiful start to our Friday. It's going to feel like summer today. Anthony Baglione has the forecast and a live look over at Pinehurst. I'm looking for Jeff Hogan. Do we see him there on the golf course?
I'm keeping a close eye on it because I'm sure he's probably going to be headed out there, as are a lot of people today. It is just beautiful out there this morning. We have blue skies, calm conditions. Look at how many people are getting a head start here. It's Friday. How good is that, first of all, to have a nice forecast for us today? We're going to start off with the good news, because tomorrow we do have some changes here with our weather alert day. It is beautiful right now, though. 61 degrees is where we sit in Roxboro, 65 in Southern Pines, and good morning to you in Goldsboro at 65 as well. It is going to feel like summer, though, once again today. So yesterday, you can take that forecast, basically carbon copy it for us today. 86 degrees this afternoon, nothing but sunshine, and it should be pretty comfortable as well. Not really oppressive levels of humidity, so that's going to feel a little bit better than what it could feel. This evening, Brugaloo is also going on, and tomorrow we have, of course, a lot of events going on this weekend. It should be a great forecast for that. We're at 74 at 9 o'clock, 70 degrees at 11. Early on, though, could be a little bit warm, so you may still want to pack that water. Just make sure to stay hydrated as well, but otherwise, it's looking like a good night for it. We head into tomorrow. There is our weather alert day that heads in mainly during the afternoon is when we're looking at the best chance for some showers and storms. A level 2 risk out of 5 here that the Storm Prediction Center has included most of our viewing area in. Looks like damaging wind gusts and some small hail. Those will be our primary threats. There is a chance, though, of an isolated tornado north and east of the triangle here throughout the day tomorrow. Let's go over futurecast here because, of course, as you're planning for the weekend, this is the big important factor. We start off tomorrow morning, 8 a.m., maybe a few isolated showers, but by this point, I do anticipate most of us being still dry. We head closer to lunchtime. That's when we start to increase that coverage, and especially by about 2 to 3, 4 p.m. or so during the afternoon, we really start to ramp up that coverage as a line starts to come through as well. Futurecast is not necessarily picking it out great there, but I do think 2 to 3 o'clock or so, it's going to be that line pushing through, and then it really starts to get out of here. Tomorrow evening, after about 7 or so, looking a whole lot better, and it will be dry into our Sunday morning. So if you can steer those plans to Sunday, it is looking like a very good end to the weekend, but tomorrow, not necessarily looking like the best forecast, unfortunately. We're at 74 tomorrow after a really nice day today. Head outside, soak up that sunshine. 69 degrees on Sunday. We see, again, lots of sunshine, but notice temperatures are cooler, relatively speaking, as we head into next week. And you guessed it, guys, another batch of maybe some showers into next weekend as well. So we'll try and get that out of here, but looks like a cooler forecast overall.
Once again, always on the weekends. Anthony, thank you. Only on WREL, a Raleigh mother says she thinks her 14-year-old daughter was set up, ambushed, then shot. Natima Taylor believes her daughter was taken to McDougal Terrace in Durham by people she thought were her friends. The shooting happened shortly before 2 in the morning on April 8th in a neighborhood where the mother says her child had never been.
They asked her, what did she have? And she said, I don't have nothing. And walked up to her and shot her. One put her in the headlock, and the other one put the gun to her stomach, and the other one shot her in the hand.
Since that night, the 14-year-old has been in the hospital. Fortunately, she's no longer on a ventilator and is expected to recover. The family has set up a GoFundMe page to help pay for hospital and medical expenses. Police have not made any arrests.
The body of 25-year-old Staff Sergeant Caleb Gore is back in North Carolina. Gore was one of the 9 soldiers killed when 2 Black Hawk helicopters crashed during a nighttime training exercise in March. Members of the Patriot Guard gathered at the airport with Gore's family to escort his body back to his hometown of Morehead City. None of them knew Gore or his family, but they say they are bonded through the brotherhood of service.
Something we do it when we're called. It's something we get it from my heart to do. It's all, it means so much to us. I'm a fellow veteran. I'm a fellow Marine. And we're all brothers in this.
The Patriot Guard drove to Morehead City, where Gore's family will hold a private ceremony for him.
The U.S. may soon evacuate its embassy staff from the African country of Sudan. The Pentagon is moving troops to the region in preparation for the move. It comes as intense fighting continues between Sudan's top general and a paramilitary group. This morning, that general committed to creating a civilian-led government. But the U.S. government is preparing for the worst. There are 19,000 American citizens believed to be in Sudan right now. We have a health alert for you this morning. Veterinarians warn against an unusual number of dog flu cases spreading across North Carolina. A Raleigh-based veterinarian says this is not like kennel cough. Kennel cough is associated with a bacteria-type upper respiratory infection. They're seeing outbreaks in places like boarding facilities. Canine flu, though, is caused by viruses, and in this case, in NC, H3N2. The CDC reports no human infections with canine flu have ever been reported. Here are some of the symptoms pet owners should watch out for. Cough, runny nose, fever, reduced appetite. And we have more information on this on WRL.com. The Sampson County Sheriff's Office is making it easier for you to keep up with crime and crashes in your area. The department says it's launching its new Citizen Connect page. You'll be able to search incidents, press releases, arrests, bookings, and more. That information will be updated daily.
Spring is in full swing, and there are tons of events happening in the Triangle this weekend. WRAL Lifestyle Editor Kathy Hanrahan is here with us this morning with your best bets to get out and about. Kathy, let's start with some live music in Durham.
Okay, so Ben Rector is playing Durham Performing Arts Center tonight. It's part of his old friend's acoustic tour. The show is going to feature Jordy, Cersei, and Stephen Day. Tickets are still available.
And the weather's going to be great for that concert as well. There is also a great event for science fans in Raleigh this weekend, too.
Scientists of all ages will want to check out the Triangle SciTech Expo at the North Carolina Museum of Natural Sciences on Saturday. There's going to be activities like paper airplane making, exhibits about robots and 3D printing. Everything's happening from 10 to 5, and admission is free.
And then on Sunday, Durham is going to be celebrating Earth Day, Kathy.
Yeah, Earth Day is this weekend. So you can celebrate by going to Durham Central Park on Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. The festival will include Earth-friendly activities, vendors, music. It's a great family-friendly pick, and admission is free.
All right, thank you so much. And you can find out more events going on by going to WRAL.com and searching Out and About. Kathy, thank you.
Several events in our area planned for this weekend are now rescheduled because of the threat of storms. In Raleigh, the American Cancer Society Relay for Life is postponed. It was supposed to be tomorrow evening at Halifax Mall. Brian Schrader is the event MC. The new date for the Relay for Life is May 20th. And in Durham, Duke football rescheduled their annual blue and white spring scrimmage game and fan festival that was supposed to kick off tomorrow. Instead, the Blue Devils will get their spring game in tonight at 8.
From inflation to unemployment to worries about being laid off by an illness, having an emergency fund can help smooth out life's financial bumps. Five on Your Side's Kaylee Arthur explains how.
Saving up and then building an emergency fund might seem really daunting right now, but it really isn't as hard as you think, and it's so important.
Even if you have a steady paycheck, pay your bills on time and have a little left over to save. The unexpected can derail everything.
We've all experienced major financial emergencies, an unexpected home repair, medical bills, or even loss of income.
Emergencies can easily turn into major debt or even a full-blown financial crisis. Financial planner Nestor Vargas says stashing away enough to cover 3 to 6 months worth of essential expenses is a great rule of thumb.
Essential expenses are housing, food, transportation, debt repayment. And so what you want to do is you want to sit down, figure out how much that is on a monthly basis, multiply it times 3 or 6 to come up with the actual number you need to save for your emergency fund.
Then set your target and execute your plan.
Definitely important to start saving as much as you can or as little as you can. If it's $5, $10 a month, you'll be surprised how quickly that adds up.
An online savings calculator can show how much you'll need to set aside each month to reach your goal and how quickly that money will grow.
Consumer Reports suggests putting money into a high-yield savings bank or certificate of deposit. Many of those accounts now have interest rates over 4%.
While building emergency savings should be a priority, make sure paying down high-interest debt is a priority, too. If you have low-interest debt, find a balance between paying that down and putting the rest toward your emergency fund. Keely Arthur, 5 on Your Side.
And make saving easier by sending automatic deposits or transfers from your checking account to your emergency fund as well.
And it will keep your contributions on track and secure until you need them.
Yeah.
Before we go to break, here are the winning lottery numbers, and we'll get another check on your weather and traffic next.